It's early evening as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find our friends abiding quietly at home. Mr. Victor Gook is established at the library table, playing himself a dashing game of solitaire. Mrs. Victor Gook occupies her husband's easy chair, reading the newspaper. And young Mr. Rush Gook, on the Davenport, stares unseeingly at the pages of his algebra textbook. And now there's conversation. Listen.
Want to meet me downtown tomorrow afternoon?
What for?
Talking to your father.
Are you referring to the purchase of a hat?
Yeah. Suppose you leave the office around 3:30 or so, and we'll meet in a fever
booth. Oh, just say that. I can buy my own hat.
No, you can't.
You people talking about hats.
What you do is dash in the store like a house afire and take the first thing they showed you.
Since organized society credits me with sufficient intelligence to permit me to walk the public streets without a straitjacket, it might be assumed that I'm smart enough to purchase an article of wearing apparel without guardianship and supervision. Hey, how'd you like that sentence?
Pretty good.
My next address is scheduled for Tuesday at 2 o'clock.
Shall we do that, then?
Oh, heck, I'll drop by Kleeberger's tomorrow on my way home from work.
Yes, and what would you buy?
I'd buy
some great big old wide-brim cowboy thing. No, sir. I'm going with you. Let's say 3 o'clock. We'll meet in at Kleeberger's and see what they got, and then step over to Hamilton's and Silver's.
I don't want it traced all over town just to buy a doggone hat.
You want to see what the different stores have, don't you?
I get so fidgety I could
hats
scream.
Hats generally run you $5. $5 is quite an outlay for people in our circumstances. Pays to shop around. That's the way I do. Why, before I buy a 10-cent wash rag, I make the rounds.
That's because you enjoy looking at junk and chewing the fat with clerks.
I enjoy getting the most for my money. That's what I enjoy.
Willie Clarkson, though Strap enjoys quite a reputation for being a centrist.
Does he?
Yeah. Why, take that occasion when he escorted his lady friend to Peoria for purposes of enjoying fish dinner.
You told us that.
When?
I don't know. The other day. Sometime.
I know I started to tell it.
Him and this girl went to Peoria and ate fish.
They didn't eat fish.
No?
No. That's the whole point of the story. They planned to eat fish, but fate intervened. And there's enough comical details in the story to choke a horse.
Hmm.
And the conclusion of the story is so funny, you'll roll on the floor.
Mm.
Here's the way it goes. It just so happened that Smelly Clark's Uncle Sam took it in his head to escort his lady friend to Peoria for purposes of enjoying fish dinner. On the way, an argument sprung up, and Smelly Clark's Uncle Sam informed his lady
friend... Here's more or
that,
less on the order what I want you to have, Vic. Pardon me, Willie.
I'm in courtesy.
Want to show your father this picture in the paper. Vic.
Hold it up.
It's a Kleeberger advertisement, too. How do you like that hat?
The brim's too narrow.
Now listen, mister. If you think we're going downtown tomorrow and buy you a broad-brimmed hat, you're mighty badly mistaken. You're not any cowboy from Pennsylvania, you know. You're a businessman, and you have to wear something neat and conservative.
Bunk.
I'll say. Yes, I think this is just about the ticket. I'll tell Kleeberger's to show it to me first thing. I'll say I want to look at the hat they advertised in the paper.
You think it's just about the ticket. You'll tell Kleeberger so-and-so. I'm the slob that's going to wear the doggone hat.
You'd buy a hat that looked like the inside of a gunny sack if you got a chance.
If I choose to wear a hat that looks like the inside of a gunny sack, whose business?
I'll tear this out. Take it along with me tomorrow. You know the name of it?
Name of what?
This hat.
No.
The Baltimore Banker.
What?
The Baltimore Banker. That's printed underneath. Here's a lid for younger fellas. The brim twists up flashy on the side, and there's a feather sticking in the ribbon. The Boulevard Strutter.
That's foolishness.
Yeah, it is kind of, ain't it?
Mom, I am still waiting to tell the story I started.
Oh, Smelly's uncle went to Peoria and ate fish.
Smelly's uncle did not go to Peoria and eat fish.
His lady friend ate fish.
His lady friend did not eat fish.
What'd she eat?
It just so happened that Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap took it in his head to escort his lady friend to Peoria for purposes of
enjoying fish dinner. Yes, yes, yes. What happened?
On the way, an argument sprung up. And Smelly Clark's Uncle...
Telephone singing.
And Smelly Clark's Uncle...
I bet $40, that's Ruthie.
$500?
Uh-huh. She kind of halfway said this morning she thought Fred would probably feel like playing.
Smelly Clark's Uncle...
How about it?
Okay.
Informed his lady friend...
You have to be quiet, Willie. Hello? Oh, yes, lady. Oh, sitting here with our shoelaces and our eyelets. Uh-huh. Why, say, I think that'd be fine. Just a second. Mr. and Mrs. Dumpty Doodle up the street want to know if we could stand a game of 500.
Mm.
Vic says, glorious, Ruthie. Uh-huh. Hear the name I give you? Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Dumpty Doodle. Yeah. Well, we'll look for you then. All right, lady. All right. Goodbye. They're coming here. Leaving right now. Better put on your shoes.
Fred takes his off as soon as he gets in the door.
Yeah, but you're the host. You going to be around, Buster?
I have not as yet formulated.
Because if you are, we can wait about the ice cream. Otherwise, you'd better drop to the drugstore right now.
Perhaps you would like...
What did I do with that advertisement I tore out? Oh, here. Uh-huh. This is just about what I want. Huh. The Baltimore banker.
The brim on that hat's too narrow, say.
It is not.
It is, too. I look like a peeled onion.
You're no Wild Western cowpuncher. You just can't get away with enormous, floppy, wide-brimmed hat. Goodness, why don't you buy a lasso?
And another thing. You said you wanted me to leave the office at 3:00. That's taken off 2 whole hours. Is it your intention to make me try on hats for 2 whole hours?
I want to see what Kleeberger's has got, and I want to see what Hamilton's and Silver's have got.
I got their willies running from store to store.
Whose fault is that?
About 20 minutes of stalling around talking to half-wit clerks, and I feel like screaming.
Fresh, if you're going to be here when Mr. and Mrs. Tenbottom come, you have to comb that hair. Look fierce. Trot along and untangle it. You don't want company to catch you looking like an eagle's nest. Well, we don't have to make it 3:00 if you don't like leaving the office so soon. Say 3:30 or 3:45.
Why the heck can't I drop by Kleeberger's on my way home from work at 5?
Because I have to be there with you to see you get what's right.
Or as that goes, my presence ain't even necessary.
Well, I suppose you're going to be all sulky tomorrow, like you generally are when we buy your clothes.
Yes, I shall be all sulky.
The clerks get the notion you're a little on the loony side. You don't ever say anything. You just stand and act sour.
What is there for me to say? You do all the talking.
Oh, but just the same.
Let's try this one on, Victor. No, keep your hands away. I'll fix it. Only you let me try on my own hat.
No, because you take it and jam it down on your head like a frying pan.
Remember what that fool in Hamilton said last time we bought me a hat?
No.
He says, half some of it's too tight, madam.
Uh-huh.
Halfwit thought I wasn't right.
Well, you certainly didn't behave right. Stood there like a statue, staring straight ahead of you while I put hats on your head.
I think I'll buy my doggone hats like Buller buys his.
How's he do?
Calls up on the telephone. Says, send me a hat, size 7.5.
Oh, land.
If the fella in the store asks him what color and what shape and so on, he says, I said send me a hat, size 7.5. I don't give a hoot what color or what shape. I want a hat, size 7.5. I'll pay between $5 and $7. You got my orders. I'll expect somebody from your store here in my office in the next 10 minutes.
Oh, land.
The way I think I'll handle it.
You will not. You'll meet me tomorrow afternoon, and we'll pick out something neat and conservative with a halfway civilized-sized brim.
Mm-hmm.
3:30 suits you?
Mm-hmm.
We'll meet in Kleeberger's.
Mm-hmm.
It's a date, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a date?
Okay, okay.
Rush, what ails you? Sitting there looking like you've been eating crab apples.
I realize I am only a common, ordinary American citizen, but when I get halfway through a comical story,
tell your story, goodness. Smelly Clark's uncle ate fish in Peoria.
Smelly Clark's uncle did not eat fish in Peoria.
His lady friend ate fish.
His lady friend did not eat fish.
What'd she eat?
It just so happened that Smelly Clark's uncle's staff took it in his head to escort his lady friend to Peoria for purposes of enjoying fish in it. On the way, an argument sprung up. And
there's
Smelly
our pal.
Uncle Straff.
Now, Fred and Ruthie, slip on your shoes and straighten that library table.
Informed his lady friend.
Go let him in, Rush.
What?
Mr. and Mrs. Tenbottom's at the door. Go let him in. Don't just stand there.